Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the Ted's. Starring the Ted. Star. The. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. Ha-ha!
The podcast starts.
You better wear a helmet now.
All right, welcome back to a brand new episode of the podcast. I'm the host of this here podcast, the Ted Smith. Greatest podcast of all the land.
All the land.
Down below in the lower square, look a little tired from the biggest weekend ever. What's going on?
The box is locked. The lights are on. It's robot fighting time. What's up, boys? It was a big weekend, and I'm pumped to talk about it. Let's get it.
College football oddly interwoven itself between all three of us this weekend. Up there in the top left square, coming in from the desert down there, Matt Kama, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
Boys, it's great to see you.
Just before we get in, I want to talk to Tom about all the stuff that happened in Austin, but I just got to get it out of the way. How about those Terps?
Who'd they get? I didn't even see their score.
They took down SC.
That's what?
Yes.
No way.
That was one of the best games I've watched all season.
Plus, you were watching it with actual SC fans.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. An SC fan who loves the cast and it likes the Terps because of you. And yeah, I was torn the whole time. I couldn't use his SC koozie as usual because I was like, not against the Terps, bro. You know, like I was totally neutral, just like, Carson, you're my go-to college football guy here. Ted's the reason that I pay attention to college football, so I'm just split down the middle. I just want a good game, and boy, did it deliver.
Yeah, I mean, there's just, I feel like when you look at the history of those two football programs, I don't know when the next time I'll be able to be like, you know what, Carson, suck it. Go Terps. Now, sure. Are people getting on Maryland fans because they stormed the field and SC's like, what, 500 or below it? Yeah, sure. Pick your poison. But you know what? Maryland's a struggling program. You've heard it here on this podcast. You beat SC first time they've come to your house. Get rushed the field. Who gives a shit?
Do it.
Dude, also, I love that it was a big win right after your brother Chris like finally threw in the towel and was like, had his famous line, like, you know, they should pay me to go to games. I love that.
Well, it is wild what like a win in football does too, right? Because I was like, should we fire Loxley? He's like, well, who are we going to hire? I'm like, I don't know. And as soon as that game ended, I looked at my buddy Sean. I go, well, Loxley just kept his job for another damn year.
Yeah, seriously.
Right? I mean, hell, look at Sunday. As Seahawks out of nowhere go down to a very good Atlanta team, just put a thumping on them. And again, I go, I just looked, me and Sean were sitting there like, wait a minute, are we good? Like, I was fine with losing to the Falcons and the Bills and being like, yeah, we're going to have to wait. You know, it's a 3-year project. Now I'm like, maybe we're a playoff team. I don't know.
Any given Sunday, baby.
So I just had to get that out of the way quickly. If people are wondering, don't be. Yes. My family was there, and cousin Tom was shirtless. He sent me a picture of him shirtless on the field with his kids.
Yes, Tom. Yes. Wow, that's a real Smith right there.
Dude, it was homecoming. Like, a bunch of my high school buddies were actually at the tailgate with my family and stuff. It was a nice mixture of people, but everybody was there for the tailgate. It's like, I mean, I don't care what SC's record is. Like, we're not beating SC. Blah, blah, blah. And it was, I mean, the first half was ugly. Started believing in it. I watched the first half from a, I'll just say a bar in Smoky Point. This place, I kid you not, this place had like 20 TVs. They seemed shocked we actually wanted to watch college football. Like, it's more of a shoot pool and ride two wheels kind of establishment.
Fair enough. Well, dude, we got to give an apology, a direct apology to the person that we talked so much ass about, which is the person who scheduled SC for the homecoming game at Maryland. Right. We talked about them directly, and we're like, what an idiot.
Right? Like, what the fuck were you thinking, dipshit?
Turns out he knows a lot about college football.
God damn. Freaking Maryland.
Or got lucky.
Yeah, right? The week before, you're favored by 10 at home on a Friday night. You lose by 20.
Oh, God.
The next week you come out and beat us. Like, all right. Also, it's funny. Maryland fans are like, oh, maybe our coach isn't that bad. And SC fans are like, we need to fire our coach.
Yeah, seriously. I know Alabama dropped another one, too. Speaking of, you know, coaches getting pressure.
That was wild. I liked all those guys smoking cigars. All those kids, like, no idea what they're doing. I saw a mashup on Twitter of it.
Yeah, so Tennessee, like I said, Tennessee, Alabama, right, famous, third weekend in October. But Tennessee, for years, just didn't beat Bama. So last time they beat them at their stadium 2 years ago, they lit up cigars. So then it became like a thing, and then like I saw one of the Alabama coaches walked in with a cigar, like, we're not sweating you guys.
It's dang, like, yeah. Tennessee's got some weapons, man. That quarterback can move.
He can't, and he had been having some off weeks. All of a sudden, he showed back up, and he was ready to rock and roll. I know I sound like a broken record, but just Saturdays in the fall, man. You don't know what's going to happen.
Oh yeah, totally. And dude, you know, I like it. I feel like probably you talking about it has gotten some people into college football who maybe wouldn't have been otherwise. And now, like, it's a free roll. You know what I mean? It's just like, oh, a great day. It's like a holiday that wasn't even a holiday before. Like, I've been loving college football this season. I've been eating it up, and it's like, gives me something to do on Saturdays, you know? Watching those 18-year-old kids struggle against each other gives my life purpose, Ted.
I know. Well, and look, I'm not a huge fan of these giant conferences and all the realignment, but, man, credit to the TV networks. All the universities got a bunch more money, and it's working. Like, I've heard more random people, whether they're not football fans or just they're just NFL people, talking about college football and watching it this year.
Mm, nice. And the bigger, are they doing a bigger playoff this year too? I know I heard a rumor about that.
They are. Yeah, it's going to be 12 teams. And I think honestly, just every weekend, there's some massive matchup, right? Like Tennessee, Alabama. If you're a nerd or you like SEC football, sports, college football nerd, that was always a big game. But now that like half the country's in the SEC and the other half's in the Big Ten, it's like, you got to watch this game.
Oh, yeah. That's huge. And down at Texas, we had College Game Day. Obviously, things didn't go the way we wanted, but we were waiting at, for anyone who's ever been to the game, we were at Scholl's Beer Garden ahead of time, and we were watching ticket prices. We were going to try to go. Saw him at like $2.90. We drank like a big a stein of beer. Stein. See him again, $3.80, thinking about it. Like, it's getting up. Like, they'll start to come back down. Next time we look, 1,028. Not going to the game. Have fun at the bar, boys.
That's fair. All right, so the big weekend, biggest weekend ever in Austin. I know we had a buddy go down. Did you guys – I did not realize Sting was playing Friday night out at Coda.
Bro, so let me hit you with this. All right, so there's billboards up all over town. Biggest weekend in Austin history. And all they show is, like, Sting – Eminem, University of Texas number one against Georgia number five, Formula One Grand Prix.
Ooh.
Unreal weekend. It was crazy. Monday was the busiest day the airport has ever had.
Wow.
And there was like every news station was there at 6 a.m. filming. It was crazy. Yeah, it was a wild weekend. I mean, everywhere we went had a line, which I have never seen in Austin, truly. So yeah, it was fun. Lot of energy.
I do like I was texting with you throughout the day, and I think I was annoying the crap out of people, like, no man, Friday night you have tickets to practice 3 and 4, you get to see Sting at the racetrack. And people are like, I'm like, fucking Sting, man, like the Police, like Sting.
That's awesome.
And then I was trying to explain to him. So I haven't been there, but our buddy George has, and I saw him for a little bit on Friday, and he was explaining to me too, like Circuit of the Americas. That's what they call it, COTA. Like down there in Austin, like once you're in the track, you can just roam all everywhere you want. Whereas like when we went to F1 in Vegas, your tickets kind of let you into certain zones. So like we were in East Harmon. That's where the East Harmon boys. But like I just like the idea of like. And I think next fall, we're coming down to that race. The East Harmon boys are. But, like, yeah, just the idea of roaming around the track, seeing different turns. And then it's like, oh, hey, we're going to trot out Sting in the middle of it. Like, go over there and watch it. Like, okay.
Yeah, that is crazy. And the concert venue is, like, right in the middle of the track, too.
Yeah, like I saw Martin Gurex perform, but we were in, like we were sitting in the nice section, and the pits are right across from us. So like he just came out on stage right there after they did the champagne and everything. But like if you were in the other zones, like you couldn't get into our zones, you couldn't see him. So that's why I was like, oh, that's better down at Coda. Like wherever your seats are, you can like just walk around and be like, all right, let's go watch the concert.
Were you guys in the shade in Vegas, or was it a night race?
It was a night race.
That's the one thing I will say. The one knock on Austin, two knocks. One, getting in and out of Coda is tough because it's just one farm road. So it's like, it's kind of like White River. I think it's one lane in, one lane out, or something close to that. And then the other thing is 2:30 race. It's hot. Like we had 101 last Sunday. I don't know what it was this Sunday for the race, but it was, you know, it was warm, probably 85. We watched it at like an ice cold bar. It was nice.
It's also kind of wild. Like now that I've been to Austin a few times, like those guys film all their videos of them like trying on stuff and everything. And I'm like, I was like, Pierre Gasly's just wearing like the same hat I bought. Like he's at Alan's Boots.
Yeah. They're just like celebrities. They're just like us.
When you see all that stuff now, I'm like, I know exactly where that is. I know exactly what's going on.
Yeah. Well, and in all fairness too, you know, you were a bit of a man about town. You know this town more than most people have come for, you know, a few trips.
That is true. Especially that first Friday I was there, or that Saturday night. You're like, you want to go out a little more? I was like, yeah, let's go see it. Like let's try this area. Let's try that area.
Yeah, we covered a lot of ground, which honestly was awesome. But yeah, I was telling, I had a friend visiting this weekend, and I was like, well, Texas Ted loves this bar. Just different places we'd end up. It's pretty funny.
Matt, I was chirping our mutual buddy. Like, did you cold plunge in the morning? Have you got a buckets of beer yet at Little Woodrow's? Like, Cobb sends me a picture, and I text him, sigh, not on our group thread. I was like, where is your Texas shirt, dude?
Called culture, man.
You're right, culture, right? Matt's tarps off for Matt, Texas shirt for the rest of us.
Nice.
I was at a 2-year-old's birthday party this weekend, and like the one couple, their son, he's pretty funny, he's like 4 or 5, but I didn't hear his dad, but whatever happened, he just walks out, and I just hear my buddy go, don't tell Ted, he'll do it too. And I'm like, what? And it's like, he just walks out shirtless. And it's like, oh, tarps off, Bodie? Yeah, I'm in.
Tarps out shirtless.
Yeah. His dad, you just hear his dad going, now the party's starting. Lost his shirt.
Well, you were saying something before about like football taking front and center at the 2-year-old's birthday, like before we started the cast. What was that about?
All right. So the official start time of this party is 3 p.m., right? So I had watched the first half of the Maryland game, hit Costco. Then we roll in and like, you know, it's a little quieter. They don't have the energy of the boys yet. And it's like, they're just watching. They're watching some game. And I'm like, hey, do you mind if we put on this Maryland game? So then people are kind of getting excited because Maryland, all of a sudden, it's like Maryland might win this game. By the way, did you see Maryland's kneel down at the end of that game?
Yeah, the slam dunk.
Yeah. The quarterback snaps it, kneels down, turns around, tosses it like up in the air to the running back, and just put his arms out like a hoop, and the running back like alley-ooped it into his arms.
Oh, that's actually awesome. And then everyone rushed the field. Huge.
Yeah. So after we watch that, it's like, well, we got to put on this Texas game, right? So like it was just funny. Like the whole party was like that main TV in the main living room. Like the kids are on the other side. Like everybody was gripped to it. I mean, we were outside grilling food and like, but you could still see into the TV and everybody, it was funny. It's just one of those things where it happens. Everybody just lines up kind of like facing the TV and talking. And it was like, I realized we had so many Texas, Georgia fans.
Man, I got to say, you know, first of all, Georgia has an incredible football team and they deserved to win that game. However, like just that first quarter, Texas was actually playing pretty well. You know, they had a lot of balls not bounced their way, and Georgia ultimately outplayed them. But they had a lot of chances. They had a lot of, I think, 3 turnovers in the first half. I mean, it was pretty impressive football. So, you know, all is not lost. Georgia was a good team, but man, that was looking like a blowout there for a second. I mean, it was, yeah, wasn't it like 20-0 at one point, something like that?
So I texted you, stay off Dirty Six. Like, what's, because I mean, the pictures beforehand, it's not just you guys, like everybody in the background is like pumped and like,
oh, yeah,
like what's the
bars mood? Were like, packed, dude. There was literally, I've never, like, there was long lines, and I had to bribe my way into bars that usually have like 10 people out of. It was crazy.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm. But $40 gets you a long ways in Austin.
What? All right. My next question is, what is the mood like when you have 100,000 people in that stadium, countless other thousands in town? Like, if you're an average F1 person, you're cheering for Texas that day. What's the mood like in that town after they lose?
Dude, we didn't stay long to find out, actually. We were out drinking all day, and then we just rolled back to our building and to you're and my mutual friends. He has kind of like this crazy penthouse in the building. So we just rolled up there, insulated ourselves from society, just looking out over his place looks out over the city. So it was just like maybe six or seven of us up there. Nobody who was very into football.
Yeah, the guy in the picture with you and your business partner?
Probably. Yeah, I'm not sure which.
I met him at the wedding.
I was throwing out a lot of photos that day. Yeah. Not really sure what I sent to whom, but probably.
Yeah. Was the Brit there?
No, she was not.
All right. I'm glad I didn't text that. Nice.
Yeah, the Brit is no more.
Yeah, I was just wondering because I was like, man, all that energy on the street and like, I'm just like, I mean, look, when you're down on six by the university, I can imagine that got a little chaotic because that's college kids. But I mean, up and down that street, I mean, they're just like, even, you know, like just, I know all those Texas fans are there. It's like, you still want to drink and party, but I'm like, is it like, it's just, it's rare you're going to be number one at home and lose a tight ball game like that.
I'll say this, if they had won, some buildings would have been burnt down. I mean, pregame, the energy was electric, doesn't even describe it. I mean, I went to the university bookstore 2 days in a row, one to get a shirt for my friend and the next day to get a different size for him. And yeah, it was palpable. I mean, everybody and their mom was excited as hell about that football game. And, you know, even looking at tickets, I mean, there was like 1% of tickets left available. I mean, it was crazy. And yeah, people have been looking forward to that one all year.
Yeah, and I mean, I watched game day that morning. I mean, it looked packed. And then, I mean, the what's that? The center with the bell tower or whatever? Or maybe it was the Capitol behind them. They had fireworks. Yeah,
the UT tower.
Yeah, they had fireworks and stuff going off. And at the end of game day, I was like, damn.
Oh, like, bro. And then during the game, they had drones. And drones now do fireworks. So that's like the new thing. They did it when they joined the SEC too. So it was a drone fireworks show. And you know how we're all about flyovers?
Yeah.
I'm trying to pull it up right now, but I believe it was like two Lancers. So yeah, B1 Lancers did a flyover, and like, they're so intimidating. I'm assuming they're bombers. I don't know. They are scary looking planes. And they did like a bunch of damage over on the east side because they just came ripping through so hard.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, dude. There's like, I don't know if it's like a lawsuit, but there's like a thread of people like hopping on to try to like coordinate. Like they came ripping through. And okay, actually, this is kind of funny. So obviously we're in Texas. People have, you know, some strong military affiliations, but I've never seen this happen before. So the bar we were at, Schultz, is right by the stadium. It's like a 120-year-old beer garden, right? People are turnt. The women are beautiful. It was great. And so people are hammered. The flyover comes, and it's these two giant bombers. I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, B1 Lancer, if you want to look one up. They come ripping over. I don't know if it's a supersonic jet or what. And the bar goes completely silent. Like, not, you could hear a pin drop. And then all of a sudden it just goes full Texas and everyone's like, yeah. And we all chanted USA, like four, probably, I don't know, 2,000 of us, like USA. I have never chanted USA harder, boys. So I had two giant steins and I was just like, fuck it, I'm in.
Dude, I told you the one Husky game I went to this year, like, we were a little late getting in there and I forgot the flyover was happening. And same thing, those two jets came over, and it was just like, oh, god damn.
Yeah, man.
Just like, right. So just like, oh, man.
I'm trying to figure out what the hell Lancer is. But yeah, they were intimidating as hell.
And then you guys didn't do anything with the race, right?
Oh, they had their afterburners on. That's why they were so loud.
God, that's such a Texas thing. I don't know what afterburners are, but I guarantee you if that was in Seattle at a Husky, and they'd been like, no afterburners.
Yeah, totally. Texas, they're like, crank it. Come and take it. For the Formula One race, there's like, it's kind of hard to describe, but it's almost like it's a bar that is like, it's like if you had like a deck pinned to a cliffside, it's kind of like that. And there was a DJ, so we went and watched it up there. It's pretty close to the house, but yeah, really sick spot. Actually, I liked it a lot. So watched the race. It's like an hour and a half long. Great DJ, and then came home and then hit the pool actually, and then went to dinner.
Oh yeah, I mean you can't beat that Sunday. Pool. I was gonna say that pool on the roof of your building. I know it. It's dope.
I know it really is. It's a blessed life, gentlemen.
I did the Sunday thing where it's like, can't get the Hawks game on. I'm like, hang on. You got a smart TV. I have a smartphone. I have my Xfinity on my phone. But like, out of the NFL rules are just weird about what they block out or whatever. So we just put it on Red Zone and then synced it up to the TV. Once I got it to work, I sat my phone down where it was. I was like, everybody off the internet. We're watching Red Zone. And then, what was I going to say? But it's like, I was like, it's the Seahawks. The Falcons are super good. And it seemed like every three or five minutes, it was like, they're scoring again. They got an interception. It was just fun. And like, it's just a good weekend. I mean, not so much for Carson, but you know,
we still had a great
tough L.
Oh, dude, I was dying on Monday because there's still like people talking about Maryland and this and that. And then just like Bro Bible had two articles. It was like, what's wrong with SC? And like Lincoln Riley has ruined two programs when he left Oklahoma. It's like, Jesus, man. Again, what does that say about our program? You lose to Maryland. It's like, burn it.
The board did the same thing.
Excessive juice.
Right? It was a lot of excessive juice. Would you say that?
I said the board did the same thing, ruining two programs with one move.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I was thinking the same thing, Matt. Great call.
And then the poor Huskies are walking into a new Lions den this weekend. Indiana, all of a sudden, the traditional basketball school is what, 7 or 8? No. Game day is going to be there. They're playing the Huskies. And it's just like, oh, man, that's going to be a tough environment.
Yeah, you hate to see that. Wow.
Yeah. And like Michael Penix should be the guest picker, but it's like it's Saturday morning. He plays on Sunday at 1 p.m. Like, I guess you could fly him up there from Atlanta. So he played at both schools.
I think he's picking. I thought I saw an article about that.
I don't know. I was searching Twitter earlier today, like game day guest picker. My vote is for Victor Oladipo, Indiana basketball star, and DeMatha Catholic basketball star.
Nice.
I watched some DeMatha football on YouTube this weekend.
Oh, nice. That good council game?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice, dude. I was watching that. I like when they put the links in there on Stag TV just for YouTube. I was watching, probably shouldn't admit this, I was watching it during my TV segment on Friday on the show. That was a good win for the boys, too, man. We're number 2 in the city. They're number 4, and they beat them by like 30 points.
Handily, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Speaking of good high school football, we're considering going to watch Westlake Lake Travis this week, which anybody who follows high school, typically they're like two top 25 teams. So we'll see.
Yeah. I think that's one of the, I don't know if you guys follow Max Preps. I think that's one of the, they always highlight the 10 biggest games of the high school weekend. That's definitely one of them.
Oh yeah. It's a war.
I'll probably say this the next couple weeks. Nothing more simple than just go out and vote. Right, it's coming up. It's what you do. It's why we, you know, have a lot of things and whatever. Just go vote. I'll just leave it at that. And then, we'll take a break here. We'll come back with some emails. What's Matt and the Cobb topic? All right. Well, welcome back. And thank you to all our sponsors. And one of our newest sponsors, University of Maryland Football. Beating University of Southern California and one of our old-time listeners, one game at a time.
Fear the turtle.
You fear that f***er now. Right? Yeah, you know he can bite. All right, Mr. Cobb, word on the street is we actually have emails.
First of all, shout out to our listeners. We asked, you answered. 9 emails this week. I don't know if that's a record, but it's certainly up there. We're only going to read a few, but we'll drip feed them to you. We'll space it out over the next couple of weeks, just in case I have a bad cop topic. Top topic. What screams I'm single? Greetings to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
All the land.
Semi-new listener, first-time emailer. I started listening to your show a few months ago during my route as a local driver, and since then I've been able to listen to all of the episodes that are still available. I owe you 3 thanks for the countless hours of laughter, as well as being able to keep my sanity in check while dealing with drivers up and down the I-5 corridor. For the cop topic on what screams I'm single, I would have to say that the most obvious signs that I'm single would be none of my furniture matches. Being able to binge sports, that's honestly a really good one.
That is pretty good.
Dead giveaway, too. Wait, I got to tell a quick aside, and I will finish this email. There's this guy who's like, so the dog park in our building, it's on the 10th floor, and it looks into this guy's apartment. And how I knew he was like an ultimate bachelor, I've seen him in there like lifting weights and like he's jacked. We're friends now, but was his coffee table was a weight bench. I was like, God what? Damn, bro. Like, you are a bachelor, dude. Just smart. Literally a weight bench, just eating food off him. Like, God damn. So anyway, you know, get some crunches in there. I owe you 3 thanks for da-da-da. I'd have to say the most obvious signs that I'm single would be none of my furniture matches, being able to binge sports or YouTube videos, and of course, being able to have the classic shower beer without a care in the world. Thanks again for all you 3 do, and LARP on, fellas. Alex.
That's awesome.
Yeah, those are pretty solid.
What screams I'm single to the greatest podcast in all the land?
All the land.
All the land.
What better time for a silent listener to email in than after running red hot from a first-time trip to Austin with the boys?
Woo!
This recent adventure had a bit of the podcast sprinkled all over it, from chopping it up outside of Terry Black's with the Pitmaster, who gave me the rundown of the family feud. Nice, dude. Hell yeah.
I love it.
To playing 2 18-round holes of golf out in the Texas heat. But by my time out on 6th Street is where the answer to this week's question can be found. My memory may forgo me, but I seem to remember Ted telling us about the rebellious hurricane shot where the bartender throws water in your face and slaps you immediately after a shot of liquor. With this in mind, I was able to coerce our one single friend for a final shot of the night. We pulled the bartender to the side and asked her to load up the hurricane for an unsuspecting target. Instead, she offers another solution in a shot called a baby bird. With my curiosity at an all-time high, I utter the closing words, do it. Long story short, our friend was a trooper and didn't even bat an eye. Unruly celebration ensued and regret followed the next morning. So yes, if you're taking baby bird shots from bartenders, you're probably single. Boneyard.
How does he not say what the baby bird is?
I know, dude. Cliffhanger. Matt, can you Google it while I read the next email? See if we can get to the bottom of it.
It's got
to
be she's feeding you, right? So is it like a test tube shot out of her cleavage or something?
Or out of her mouth?
Also, that's a pretty good theory. I don't know.
Just got the little mouse up there running the wheel right now.
Baby bird.
Oh. How can you tell us? What do we got, Matt?
Yeah, I found a video from the mouth of the bartender.
From the and mouth then she smacks you.
Yeah. Oh, I see. It's like in their mouth up, and then they smack you across the face. Nice.
Oh, I see.
How can you tell? So basically, to describe it, she has the shot in her mouth, but not the liquid, just the glass. Tips it into the patron's mouth and then slaps him across the face.
She spits it from her mouth to his and then
splashes
the drink in his face and the water in his face and smacks him. Spit, splash, smack.
Boys, I'm honestly not sure how to react to that.
I will say this. We are not using that. That bar wants to split, spit, splash, smack. Like, that sounds like jail time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that got amazing. Graphic quickly, Matt. That's on me. I asked you to look it up. I'll take the heat for that one, boys, with the FCC.
Hi, emails.
I'll mark it just in case. Never mind.
Let's just get another email going.
Yeah, that's something
to try. Let's move on from the baby bird.
How can you tell someone's single? Hi, gents. Since you've had a lack of emails, I thought I'd send in a snarky one. You can tell someone's single because they have that glow about them where maybe they're going to get a mouth hug in the next month, year. Have a good one, boys. Kelly.
Well, listen, we were just asking that question, but there's a lot of people that are very happy in their relationships. Like, Jesus.
Including us too, me and Cobb, for the record.
They have that glow in their eye. Like, they might get a mouth hug. Like, woo, it's coming in from down deep.
Dude, well, I'll say this. You know, this is the first email from a woman on this topic. And I will say that in my single days, I feel like women can tell. And I don't know how, like, if you're on a dry streak.
100%.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know the best way to, you know, I don't know the politically correct way to phrase that. But it's like they know. They know what's going on and you can't fake it. And, you know, vice versa. They know when you're running hot and it makes things easier. And so, you know, I don't know what the sixth sense is about that, but having that glow about them does kind of make sense to me.
Yeah. And Kelly doesn't have to be a woman, you sexist.
I can see your photo.
Oh, all right.
What do you think I do here in the booth, Ted?
I think you just assume that it's not an Irish gentleman named Kelly.
Well, and also I'm wondering if this is a really really her last, I don't want to say it, but there's a lot of joke potential, Kelly. all right, you guys want one more?
One more.
The Bachelor's Handbag. Hola to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land. All the land.
Okay, on to episode 2 in this week's Cobb topic. As a single guy in my 40s, okay, I turned 45 the other week, so now I'm officially mid-40s, I guess. But I'm still dark on the men's room boys for not being on air for a shout-out. I've never heard the term bachelor's handbag before, but it could not be closer to the truth if it was written about me. I get a rotisserie. Same with Ted. I get a rotisserie chicken from the local supermarket once a week at least, to the point where my mates call around dinner time and will say, "So, chicken for dinner again tonight. I must be that predictable, but I own it. Where else can you get at least two meals for $10? Other thing for me is a family-sized fridge, but not filled with food. If I open my fridge, I have 2 liters of milk, some dips, 24-pack of Coke Zero, perishable condiments, leftover chicken from the night before, and a lot of free space that just screams, eating for one, but never more than a day in advance. My garage also screams I'm single with a 2-seater sports car. No way I'm fitting a wife and kids in those things. Finally, well, it does not scream I'm single outwardly. One thing I notice is that I don't need a different bank account and or credit card for those personal purchases anymore. Anything and everything I buy can just go straight on the main credit card with no fear of what is that charge for? # no shame. Cheers, Aaron from Melbourne.
I will say, I didn't really think about it. I made a definite bachelor purchase today. I was at the QFC grabbing a couple things, you know, and checked out the seafood department as I do. Man, a whole Dungeness crab there, special, had to be sold today for $8. And it's like, looks like I'm having some Dungeness crabs or Dungeness crab meat when I'm done this. Like, ooh, I'm going to get out the Old Bay and some vinegar and just pick that fucker.
Got some Dungies going. Good on you, mate.
But it was one. I was like, this works for me.
Yeah, a Dungie. Nice.
I mean, literally, awesome. I'm going to eat that Dungeness crab and make a bag Caesar salad.
How do you cook it up?
It's already been, I might just steam it real quick to get it a little warmer, or I might just put it in the oven, kind of warm up the meat a little bit.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cracking crab.
Every day, if I could. All right. Wait, seriously. All right, let's check in with what's mattening.
Hey, what's good? What's mattening?
Whoa. Before we get to what's mattening.
Hey, what's good? What's mattening?
Whoa. Check out what's mattening.
Hey, what's good? What's mattening?
Before we get to what's mattening.
Hey, what's good? What's mattening?
Check out with what's mattening.
All right. I wanted to bring this up. Technically, it was Thursday. Cobb, you've talked about it. We both moved, and it's kind of weird making new friends with dudes. right? And down here in the desert, I have the sort of buffer slash opportunity of golfing all the time. And it's a great, you know, great setting. But a dude I've played multiple rounds with, who's our first time just broing down. Just he's coming over for the game on Thursday. Wanted to, he's works in the golf and fitness industry down here too at a different country club. And so I knew, you know, I just want to make a good impression. He's a cool dude. And so I went and I got some Wagyu, which is a special type of Wagyu ribeye, from this butcher in town, and grilled him up. I mean, just wanted to like do it right, you know. And he's into fitness, so it's like red meat and vegetables. That's all we need, baby, in a grill. And yeah. Got some great steaks. Got Romanesco from Sprouts, which is like alien broccoli, just a little bit more fun. And he came over and, you know, we just broed down for the game and, you know, cooked steaks, watched the terrible football game. And it was just, it was super fun. By the end of it, we're, you know, plotting business ideas and stuff. My girlfriend was out at a dance class. And so, we were just like hanging, and it just felt good. Like I had, like I said, mostly when I bro down with dudes, we're golfing. And most of these dudes are better at golf than me. So I'm always a little bit like insecure. It's like, all right, he's way better than me. He golfed his whole life. I'm like, I'm going to make a good impression. We're going to have some awesome steaks. We're going to eat. We're going to watch the game. And he was, yeah, it was super fun. So, yeah. It was
the old Mitch playbook, eh?
I mean, it is. There just would have been a seafood option.
Yeah, always a seafood option. Chip off the old block, baby. Love it.
So that was super fun.
That's a good call, dude.
Friday, I can't remember exactly because Saturday was just so action-packed over at Carson the Lawyers. Obviously, we talked about USC Maryland. And a couple weeks ago, we had talked about doing those In-N-Out breakfast burritos that he emailed about. So after I got done with work, we were on In-N-Out patrol. We went, we got a nice order and went over to their house. And they had the tortillas, the eggs, the guac, the salsa. My girlfriend also made a phenomenal dip that day. And that one, oh my gosh, I'm getting her dips mixed up because we made two this weekend. But yeah, it was, so we brought the dip and the In-N-Out. That was the day that she made,
also, I very much appreciated the, like I'm at Carson's photo. Then it was like, here's what I got photo. And then it was like, I was like, oh man, he's doing it. They're making those burritos.
Yeah. Yeah. We did it up, with the In-N-Out, and then she made the, artichoke dip.
Nice.
And we went over there and the, you know, In-N-Out breakfast burrito, we hyped it up a couple weeks ago on that email and got excited. It exceeded expectations, and I haven't even been smoking weed recently. So I wasn't really? Even high, and this thing like rocked my world. Surprisingly, like didn't feel bogged down afterwards. It was freaking massive. They had the biggest tortillas you can find. And we stuffed them real good, and I ate the whole thing, but just felt good. And so, yeah, it was eggs, guac, In-N-Out stuff, grilled onions, and yeah, phenomenal. So that was fun. The games were great that day. You know, USC Maryland was just like such a fun watch from wire to wire. That was also when Alabama and Tennessee was on, and. Yep. You know, I'm not a huge UW guy, but God damn, I love rooting against Alabama. And like, but now I have this like partial UW allegiance just because it's like, yeah, you're right. Fuck them. but I will say I'm all about those Cougs this year. Just the spite, you know, awesome record after the entire Pac-12 abandoned them. And they're just putting in the work.
Cougs are rolling. The worst thing for the Cougs is that the Huskies have not been that good. Because that win, I think, would propel them to get more national attention.
Yeah.
But yeah, if somehow the Huskies beat Indiana this weekend, then the Cougs, their wins will look better.
Yeah. Yeah.
I said it to Mike Hawk today. I go, I know you don't care a ton. I go, it's not the toughest schedule. I said, hey, Cougs are out there rolling, winning the games you got to win.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all they can do. And so, yeah, I mean, it was just a great day of college football. Then we stayed over there through Texas, Georgia, which, you know, I was glad that it, you know, Texas made it interesting in the second half, at least. I mean, yeah. But that first half was entirely unexpected. So, yeah, we had a great time over there again. I'm going to have to start working more on Saturdays, so I don't know, you know, how that'll affect our college football weekends that we've been doing. But it was an awesome one before my Saturdays start getting a little bit busier and won't be able to watch as many games over there when we do go over. And then Sunday was the Seahawks game. Tyler, my girlfriend, made a amazing buffalo dip, which just rocked my world. Like, buffalo chicken dip was... I had it for... It was pretty much all I ate that day. It was phenomenal. So dip season's in full swing, Ted. You kicked it off, but I don't think I've missed a weekend of dip since.
Dude, Jesse made like a... I don't know. He was cooking this bolognese on Saturday night, for Saturday, all day, right? We're talking 5 hours, 6 hours. So then Sunday, we're sitting at his house. We're watching Red Zone. I'm like, so we order a pizza? He's like, I can make some of the cast iron. And he's like, should I put some of that bolognese on it? I was like, yeah. It was phenomenal. So then it became like a big joke. Like, you want to make pizza like this? It's simple. Just spend a whole Saturday cooking a bolognese sauce. So then add it to your pizza the next day.
That's so awesome. Man, that sounds great. Yeah. I just love football and food. I feel like we talk about those things a lot on this cast, but, you know, this is the time of year where I'm like, you know what? We're geniuses. That's what we should be talking about. It is a phenomenal way of life.
Dude, and to bring it back to, like, the original hardcore, too, the donuts and the apples, like, the kids were making, like, you know, like, fake little teeth with, like, two slices of Honeycrisp and then, like, the caramel in the middle and then three little marshmallows. So it's like you're eating this, like, homemade pizza and then just like snacking on apples and caramel. With I was like, this is great.
That is so cool. Also, I walked to work today, first time of the season. Walked to dinner last night, walked to work today. The weather's getting primo down here.
I like, we're opposites. I'm like, now it sucks walking to work. I got to wear a rain jacket. You're like, I can walk to work again. Or for me, the light rail. But like, I can walk to work. Like, you're just starting?
Yeah.
All right. Well, sounds like a good weekend. And I think it's about that time.
Boop, doop, doop, boop, boop. Cobb topic.
Cobb topic.
All right. So I'll start by saying that guys don't get complimented that much. And sometimes guys will get a compliment and they will live on that thing for years. So in the, you know, we're tailgating before the Texas game on Saturday and a woman just hits me with a throwaway compliment. She's like, oh my God, you have beautiful eyes. And I was just like, nice. It kind of caught me by surprise. I was like, you know what? She's right. I do have nice eyes. They're blue, but whoa, like, where did that come from? That was awesome. Beautiful woman. And as a Georgia fan, so they're like all dressed up, Southern Belle, you know, the dress and everything. So that was cool. So I was thinking for this week's Cobb topic, interesting to see what physical body feature do you get the most compliments on? Feel free to email us, literally the word email at thepodcast.com. To ease, what physical body feature do you get the most compliments on? Boys?
Oh, calves.
Oh, yeah.
Cags are my beard's like shorter now, but if I grow it all in full, I used to get a lot of compliments on my beard.
Yeah, you get that Spartan beard, dude.
Yeah.
From dudes or chicks?
Whatever you want it to be, my guy.
Man, I would say over the years, dudes have complimented my arms more, and girls have also complimented my eyes, which is funny because I was always picked on by dudes about my eyes being too far apart throughout middle school and high school. So getting a chick that's like, you have nice eyes. I'm like, you have no idea how much that means to me. You are undoing years of bullying.
Dude, eyes being far apart can be a superpower. I don't want to name names. I'll tell you off cast, but there's a guy I knew who ended up becoming a goalie in the NHL, and his eyes were like on the outside of his head, like true alien. And I think it helps him see the puck.
Oh, I bet.
Because the further apart your eyes are, the better your depth perception would be if you think about it.
Interesting.
There's some actress who's pretty famous right now that hers are kind of far apart. And like, Matt, I never noticed it till you started bringing it up about yours. But I don't know. We got going one day on the men's room. It's bad. People are emailing in now calling her a halibut.
Oh, Jesus. Got me.
I know. It was so mean, but I was like, that's funny.
Yeah, pretty funny, though. Nice voice.
Yeah, I've gotten nice enough and sensitive. I don't have a complex about it enough.
Definitely not traumatizing, dude. Thank you. Safe space.
Well, Metzel Ozel, German national team player. He played for Arsenal. He was got a famous word too.
Just keep digging, bro.
Yeah, I know. Look, I'm not judging anybody's physical features, especially if you're a chick. She's like a famous actress. So I'm like, oh, she looks like a hell of a bit. Like, fuck off.
Also, like, I gotta say, like, famous actors and actresses are so much hotter in person. Like, on TV, you can kind of judge them. And, like, you're in a room with them, and you're like, oh, my God, that person is glowing. Like, I know why they're a celebrity. Have you guys ever experienced that phenomenon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's stunning. And you're like, wow, I can't believe I ever talked shit about you. The camera does add 10 pounds.
Right.
But it is humbling quick.
Right. Remember, Jessica Simpson walked by me at the radio studio. I turned left into a wall.
Oh, my God, dude. That's so Ted. And right. I believe it, dude. I believe, like, people do crazy things around them.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. I get it.
That's a thread I would follow, like A-list celebrities. Like, what crazy things have people done because they just, like, you know, just reacted to you? Oh, my God. You walked into, like, a wall. That's humbling, bro.
It's like my one cousin at the popcorn shop. He's outside handing out samples. Just doesn't register that's RFK Jr. He just fangirls out over Cheryl Hines.
Wow.
Just doesn't even register in his brain.
Jesus, that's
was that recent?
I think it was last summer.
Okay, that's awesome.
All right, boys, we will be back next week. You know what? Talk a little about this mainstream media and stuff like that. Maybe, I don't know. We're not going to tell you who to vote for. That's your own personal choice. But yeah, we'll talk a little bit about it. I got some thoughts, and you know, I wouldn't eat boogers, but whatever.
We'll talk some shit.
We'll mix it up. We'll be a real podcast. All right.
Exactly.
We'll question everything.
Unsolicited opinions. That's what you need from us. Uneducated, unsolicited opinions, and a wealth of misinformation.
Yeah.
Be self-aware.
Right. Three white guys settle race.
Yeah, exactly, dude.
Those days are over. Problem solved. Next. All right. For MCTP, for Cobb, I'm the Ted Smith. This is the podcast. Cheers.